The series that I'm thinking about doing is going to go on for a while. But I think it will be a great blessing to all of us. I've not done this before. I've looked at this text many times, but I've never done this before. And that is, we're going to study the book of Proverbs. And we're going to do it in kind of a different way. Our brother, as he prayed just a little bit ago, prayed about the application of the scriptures that we're going to be dealing with. So here's the way we're going to do it. All right, let's see. All right, our male population is down a little bit tonight. And so better tonight than next week, all right? So here's how it's going to go. If it's all right with you, we'll try it. And if it looks like it's not being of a help or a blessing, which the Word of God's always a help and a blessing, amen? And I wanted just to really, really get to that. I don't know about you, but ladies, you can help me out with this because the men are the ones who are doing the teaching. Was their teaching a blessing? Amen or no? Oh, it was, yes. And I agree with that because I was able to sit and some of the men were able to listen while the other men were doing the teaching as well. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to study the book of Proverbs one chapter at a time, but it's going to take 2 weeks per chapter. The first week is I'm going to pick a portion of that chapter that the Lord lays on my heart as far as when I pick out a portion of that chapter to really kind of delve into, then that's what I'm going to do. Then the next week is going to be the week that our men do the teaching. And so what I'm going to ask you to do, so next week will be chapter 1 of Proverbs, and I want you to find a portion of that chapter that I've not dealt with, or if you want to, you can use that same one if the Lord gives you a different aspect to it, but especially another aspect of the chapter. So I'd like all of our men to be prepared. So here's what I'd suggest you do, is I'm going to be doing it tonight from just the first portion, not the first verse, but actually verses 2 through 7. We probably won't get through 7, but in that text, I'm going to teach that. Here's what I'd suggest to you, starting tonight, maybe every day, read through chapter 1 every day and say, Lord, I'm hungry today. Would you feed me from Proverbs chapter 1? Pastor talked about verses 2 through whatever we get to and through 7 is maximum, but probably not all the way through that so that we'll have time for prayer. But next week, I need to come with something that God's shown me through chapter 1 of Proverbs. Now, you may have your own study in a different way, and hopefully you do. But I hope you'll do this. This is a way for you to be a blessing to your brothers and sisters in Christ. It is a way for you, and by the way, this is not to keep me from doing my study, because I'm doing it anyway. Okay? But this is a way for the men of Calvary Baptist Church to dive deeply, to get into the Word of God, to study it so that they can be a blessing to someone else. It doesn't have to be long. As a matter of fact, a maximum of 5 minutes. So 5 minutes. And so we need about 3 or 4 or 5 every other Monday night. Not Monday night. Wednesday night. No fair doing it on Monday night. You'll be at home probably. But on Wednesday night. And so, and you say, well, that's kind of scary. Not if you get into the Word of God and you're not concerned about what people think of you. That's what helped me a lot when I first knew God called me to preach. I would rather sit in a corner or a side of a room or something like that. And it took a while, but the Lord helped me to think about, wait a minute, it's not about you, Randy. Whether they think you're eloquent or absence of any ability of communication, it's not about you. It's about what God's trying to do in their lives. So focus on the burden of what God's trying to get across and don't worry about the rest of it. The Holy Spirit will guide you and it'll be a blessing. So what do you think? Proverbs. How many of you are looking forward to a study in Proverbs? Oh, good. I even had some guys raise their hand. All right. I figured it'd just be a female vote on that. All right. But I hope you will. And don't want to exempt anyone. If you just got saved last week, if you've been saved longer than I've been alive, that might be a stretch. But anyway, But anyway, we want you to be ready. So all this week and then through Wednesday, but especially this week, if you'll read, and each chapter is not long. And you'll notice in the book of Proverbs is very unusual. And we're going to look at it here in just a moment. But beyond chapter 1 and 2, they're really foundational. But as you get into Proverbs, it's kind of like vignettes. You know what a vignette is? If you have a subject that's this big, but you really want to just kind of advance or highlight what this is about, you don't give them the whole package. You bring it down. You could call it distilling it down. You bring it down until, yes, here's what this is about, okay? The book of Proverbs has many, 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 many vignettes of truth. Many distilling downs of biblical truths that are taught in the full measure in other portions of the Word of God. It may be Leviticus or Daniel or Hosea or Romans or Hebrews. It may go into a lot of detail there, but in the book of Proverbs, in one chapter, you could have a vignette dealing with this, or just a brief review of this, where it's highlighting. It's not just kind of going, well, it talks about. No, it really gets to the heart of the subject. And in the same chapter, here's a completely different subject. And in the same chapter, here's another subject. That's why, rather than doing a verse-by-verse study of the book of Proverbs, as he prayed, Lord, help us to get the practical application. And that's what Proverbs is getting a practical application, shoe leather, if we could put it that way, so that as you're walking in your life, no matter what that walk is, that you'll have the benefit of saying, you know what, when that gentleman, when that guy, when brother so-and-so, he thought maybe he didn't do too well. Whoa, I had never thought of it that way before. And it's an opportunity for you to be used to the Lord. I want the men of Calvary Baptist Church, and I want you to want me to be a man of God. And I want you to be men of God. And I want you to be men who are, like it says in Romans, full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. That's the way the church is to be. And I think we have a good head start on that. No doubt about it. I'm very happy, very just thankful for the men we have here. But let's advance that so that Titus chapter 2, speak the things which become sound doctrine. The things we speak ought to be coming to sound doctrine, like a necklace around a lady's neck is becoming to her. Or you take the other aspect of becoming, and it's not sound doctrine in that person's life yet. It's sound doctrine from the Word of God's perspective, but it's not sound doctrine in that person's perspective yet. But as it's taught, line upon line, precept upon precept, it becomes sound doctrine in their lives. Does that make sense? All right. How many of you men are looking forward to participating in that? If you don't, I'll preach for 3 hours tonight. All right. How many of you men are looking forward to it? All right. All right. All right. Good. I hope you will. Don't be bashful about it. I was very impressed, very thankful, and blessed as the men were teaching. And again, I hope it doesn't come across like that's, I'm not going to have to teach. Yes, I will. I'll be prepared in case all the men have maxi COVID or something, you know, and all of a sudden everybody, you know, next week, you know, we have the ladies among us. And so I'll be prepared to teach as well. But I'm looking forward to growing in the Lord. Preachers don't get preached to or taught very often. And we are bumping our gums, as my dad would say. And so I'm looking forward to it. Well, with that in mind, why don't we just get to it then? Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. My notes are Proverbs chapter 1. My Bible's in 1 Samuel. So I better make a change on that. All right. Good. Well, let's just start where it starts then. All right. And For our benefit, I'm just going to go through verses 1 through 7, and I'm going to not really give a lot of attention to verse 1, but then just maximize our focus on verses 2 through 7, or as far as we can get anyway. Tell you what, why don't we do this? Why don't we just stand? Would you do that with me, please? And and in honor of the Word of God. And let's just read it aloud in unison as a congregation. Okay? This is Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. All right? And it reads, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Thank you so much. Please be seated. Now, I mentioned just a moment ago that we're going to start with verse number 2. So when I'm going to go from one verse to the other, I'm going to go ahead and just reread it so that we have the context in mind, or the text in mind, actually. So verse 2 is saying, the Proverbs of Solomon. Let's go back to verse 1. That's what this is. These are the Proverbs of Solomon. We'll look at proverb here in just a little bit as to what it means, but what it has the idea in mind. But this is Solomon's musings as guided by the Lord. Musings is kind of like marinating. You know, you marinate a steak or something like that, and it just becomes a part of it. The musings, or the considerations of what God was doing in his life, or as he would say in Ecclesiastes, or as he would say sometimes in Proverbs, some of the things that, all is vanity, or, you know, the things that he had done that were wrong, and he had gained wisdom as a result of the wrong side of learning. So when he's talking about the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, all right, now let's look at the verse. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Now, some of you are taking notes, and I'm glad to see that. What I'm going to do is I've gone back and I've taken the key words of every verse that I'm looking at. And you don't have to do this with yours. This is what I do, okay? When I know what the words mean and what they meant at the time, it's kind of like a window. I can see into the vestibule there. Can't see much, but there's some windows. Now, if the windows weren't there and I just walked into this building, I might think those were the doors where you just opens up to the outside. But because I see some windows, I see a side door, and I guess, you know, that's where the stairs are going. I'm not guessing, I know it is. But if I was just to look through there, there's some other doors. Oh, there's another door just before that door. And then there's a door over there. Going that way, I can see somewhat through those doors, okay? When I do a word study, and I'm encouraging you to do that, anyone can do it. I use Blue Letter Bible a lot, and I use other Greek words or Greek studies and things like that, but I have it on my... Do any of you have Blue Letter Bible? Okay, it's easy. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. You can donate to it, but it's free. It's called Blue Letter Bible. And when you look up like Proverbs 1, and you get there and you just doop on that particular verse, and it gives you a whole different, a lot of things you can do. But if you'll touch on the top one, I forget what it says. I'm so used to just hitting the top one. Commentary, I think. Nah, that's not it either. Concordance, thank you. Concordance. When you do that, it'll take you to the original language. Old Testament would be Hebrew or Aramaic, but it'll take you to the Old Testament, mainly Hebrew. And then it'll give you the Hebrew word on the left, or if it was Greek in the New Testament, be on the left. But on the right, it gives you the word in the King James. If you get the King James, it gives you all kinds of translations. Don't use those. King James, all right? So you get the King James, it'll give you that. And you hit the Greek word, even though you don't know Greek, or I don't know Hebrew. So I just touched on the Hebrew word, and what it does is it goes into detail through it just goes into detail of the Hebrew words. as to what that word meant in various contexts, but meant in that language. For example, in the Greek, it'll tell you what the Greek word meant during that period of time. Okay? And it's translated as whatever it is here in the King James, and you'll see that on there. And it'll give you the opportunity to do some more. That's all free, okay? So when I do that, it helps me. Now, I have somewhat of an understanding of the context. I've studied some of this before. And so as I've studied it, but then I want to go a little deeper, a little more deeply, and I'll hit that word. And sometimes when I'm scratching my head and I'll go, I don't understand that verse. And I'll go do the word study on all the key words in that verse. Oh, and it's like opening a window or seeing through a window. Oh, well, now that makes sense. Especially in the Elizabethan English, with the New Testament, in the Elizabethan English, some of those words have changed since those days. And so when you touch on that word, like meet, M-E-E-T, today means I'm going to meet at a cookout for a peanut butter milkshake with everybody, all right? But in that day, it meant fitting, F-I-T-T-I-N-G. Something is fitting to do. It was meet to do, okay? So when you do that, it kind of helps with that as well. All right, so here's what I'm going to do. And I'm going over a little bit of that. I'm investing the time in that tonight, probably more than was necessary. But I'll be doing that as I go through it regularly. You're welcome to do that if you want. You don't have to do all that. Just bring something that God is showing you on a Wednesday night for chapter 2, or chapter 1 for next time. So let's see how far I can get, all right? So let's look at it. It says, to know wisdom and instruction and perceive the words of understanding. All right, the word to know. To know, here's what it meant. Learn to know, perceive, find out and discern, discriminate, distinguish, know by experience, recognize, admit, acknowledge, be skillful in, be wise. Now, I didn't go on into some of the other Hebrew, but this is just the simple, this is just the everyday way that it was used in that day, all right? So think with me what we're talking about here. And here's where I'm headed with this. These first 2 and 3 verses on in through verse number 7, think of it. They're the introduction. This is the why do we take time to read this? Okay? Not because it's the Word of God, I understand. But let's say that Solomon is writing this. And he's wanting us to know, he's wanting us to understand the heartbeat of what God would have us to know. So look what he says, to know, that has the idea to perceive, to learn to know, to experience, to find out and discern. It's not a passive venture. Passive is when I'm doing something. Middle voice is when I'm doing something to myself. Somebody that's passive, some things are in the passive voice, things are happening to them. This is not a laid back kind of a venue or a venture of life. But Solomon is saying this, to know wisdom. Now, you're going to see wisdom twice. You see it in this verse and I believe in the next verse. These are two different words for wisdom. This wisdom, if you're looking at Blue Letter Bible, you'll see what it says. Skill in war, in administration, prudence in religious and ethical affairs. Okay, let me give that again. So again, you're not having to write all this down. I'm going to go too quickly for it. But listen to it. He's saying to know. To know, learn to know, perceive, find out and discern, discriminate, distinguish, know by experience, recognize, admit, all of that. What are we to know? The very first of them is wisdom. But this is a wisdom that has a strategy about it. Normally, when people go to war, and the Bible speaks about that in Proverbs as well, but when you go to war, you better know the cost. You better know your strategy. You better know your enemy. You better know everything about it. This word wisdom has the idea of skill in war. You've thought through it. There's a strategy. There's a way of going about doing what you want to do, what needs to be done. Solomon is saying, after saying Solomon, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom in administration. It says that this prudence in religious and ethical affairs. Prudent means this is, I need to be doing this. And he says prudence in ethical and religious affairs. Now, the day and time in which this was accomplished, there were a lot of traditions in Judaism. But let's bring it up to 2022. Anything that we do that has an ethical nature to it, it also has a biblical relationship to it. Amen? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to what? Glory of God. And so he is saying here to know wisdom, and not only that, and instruction. Instruction has the idea of discipline, chastening, correction. Well, that's odd. He's saying, wait a minute, to know. That's a strat to learn to know, to find out, discern, discriminate, distinguish. In other words, you need to be discerning in how you're going about doing it. And then he talks about wisdom, a strategy. How am I going to go about doing it? Okay? But now he's talking about instruction. In the New Testament, it would be, the Greek word, I'd give the Greek word for it, but that's not important. But the idea is instruction is line upon line, precept upon precept. I mean, you got this and you got that, and you know this and you know that. And if you know this, 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 and this, then you're going to be able to understand this, this, and this, and this. This instruction, though, as you have heard, has the idea of discipline. Chastening, correction. My mind races to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Does anyone know that by memory? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17? All scripture is and is profitable for what? Doctrine? That's the standard. That's the word of God. Amen? That's the standard. For doctrine, for what? Reproof. What does reproof mean? Randy, you're wrong, right? Here's the standard, but Randy Bray is not in that setting obeying the standard. So God's word reproves me. He chastens me. He disciplines me. Okay, Hebrews chapter 12. It's grievous when we're chastened of the Lord. But afterward, what does it do? It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of what? Of righteousness, that's right. So he says, for the word of God is, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, that's the standard. For reproof, telling me I'm wrong. For correction, it's telling me how to get back right. For instruction in righteousness, why? That the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. As we're just setting the stage, as we're just setting this great study that we as men are going to be doing for the benefit of the entire church, and you're doing it for the men and the ladies, even as I'm doing it for men and ladies, and for myself, as I embark on this study, I'll just be honest with you. I just prayed and said, Lord, what is the next series you want me to do? Boom, it was right there. I wasn't trying to think of it. Proverbs hadn't even crossed my mind. We're about finished, or actually we're finished. I told them last time we're finished with the study on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what do you want us to study this time, Proverbs? It was that fast. And so I got my Proverbs out and I started reading and I said, all right, and have the men teach it as well. And alternate. And I'm just telling you how within 15 minutes at the most, the Lord laid on my heart this study. I don't think this is from Randy Bray. I think this is from the Lord. And so that Brother Ron and Brother Earl and just each one of us in here, over here and back in the sound room, And those of you who are live stream, you could just come on and be with us, and you could enjoy it here as well and participate as well. All in favor, say aye. Oh, see, they love you. They want you to come. All right. I don't even know where I'm looking for live stream. I'm just looking somewhere. All right. But nonetheless, that's what it's about, is so that when we are right with the Lord, and He gives us that wisdom so that we can exercise strategy. And how can I be used of God some way every day? I'm not waiting for a lightning bolt. The truth is, I was just thinking about various subjects, or I was going to. I didn't even do it. I was going to think about various subjects. All right, do I teach about this? Do I teach about that? What about this? What about, do I want another, do I want to do a Bible, a book like we're doing on Sunday nights? What should we do on Wednesday nights? It's kind of a unique time and a time of spiritual growth, and yet an abbreviated time, so we have time for prayer. And so when I prayed, and I'll just be honest with you, it was this morning. I've wrestled with it all week long as to what to do. So this morning I said, Lord, this is Wednesday. What do you want us to do? And I could have picked something for tonight. But just as soon as I prayed it, boom, there it was, Proverbs. And we won't go into that again. So I'm just saying, and the reason I'm telling you that is I believe this is of the Lord. I really do. And so I hope you'll get engaged in it. Ladies, read Proverbs 1. Be ready to be fed. Have your plate out. And get your knife and fork and spoon and chopsticks, whatever you use. Have it ready to go and say, I'm hungry. I want to come and be fed. And hopefully that'll be the way it is. Especially is, and I want it to be that way when I do it, and I'm looking forward to being fed by the others. All right, so let's hurry on. I haven't even got past the second verse. To know wisdom, skill in war, and instruction, that's discipline, chastening and correction. To perceive, that has the idea to discern, to observe, to mark, to give heed to, and consider. I'm going to make some practical things here in a moment. Okay, so know, find out, discern, discriminate, distinguish. Wisdom, skill in war. Strategy, prudence in religion, and so forth. Instruction has the idea of discipline. Okay, I'm going to put the boundaries up, all right? So that I don't go too far this way or that way. I'm going to discipline my thoughts, and I'm going to go in that direction in God's will. To perceive just has the idea to discern, to observe, to mark. It's a familiar subject to you. If I was to take on cooking, and I could tell you some stories about that, and they never turned out well. Well, every once in a while I did. I got to where, you know, at first I thought, you know, when my wife went to be with the Lord, I thought, I'm going to starve. Because I do not like to cook. Men do not cook. Men do not cook. Even cook starts with the letter G, you know, for girl. Or L for lady. I mean, it just is that way. Maybe it doesn't. Okay. But you want to know the honest truth? I haven't told them this. I haven't told them this. So don't tell them I told them this. All right? Earl Jury. Rocky Owenby. There's about four or five men at Temple Baptist Church that love to cook. I think that's right, isn't it? Okay. Chris? Yeah, I thought so. All right. It finally got through my thick head. If they can do it, I can do it. I don't want to do it. So I'm going to make myself do it. So I went to the kitchen store in Asheville that's expensive. I don't think it's in business there anymore. And I bought this high dollar pan that's about this big, that weighs about 400 pounds. It's not cast iron, but it's a first cousin of it. All right, I've invested. I don't remember how much I paid for it, but it was more than I wanted to, I'll guarantee you. All right, I got money in this thing. I'm going to learn to cook. All right. Say, that's a goofy illustration. Well, in one way it is. But if you and I will invest our lives into the heartbeat of Proverbs, you're going to find out it's not a spectator sport. It is where you get in and you're hungry. You come hungry before. Men, next week, all right, preacher got, he only got to the second verse. Any third verse, maybe. And so there's a whole rest of the chapter I have to choose from. And there's different subjects in here. And that's where we're going to be just, it'll be a great gathering together of different principles as God deals with different men in different ways. All right, to perceive, that's to discern. And then finally, the words of understanding, and understanding there just has the idea of discernment again. So here's the heartbeat of it. And then I'm going to give you some practical things that God dealt with my heart about. All right, to know, find out, discern, wisdom, skill in war, prudence, religious, instruction, discipline, chastening, making sure you're staying in the correct lane. Okay, making sure you stay right. Perceive, discern, observe, mark. It's a familiar territory to you. And so as you're going through familiar territory, you're able to mark that which is exactly right. I was going to give another story, so I won't take the time. All right, the words of understanding. All right, let me give you, I have four principles here. I think I already gave one of them that I've gleaned from just this first verse, or that's actually verse two, but first one we've looked at. Actually, I've given two of them. The first one is this. This initial revelation of godly ambitions. And that's what this is by Solomon. He's identifying himself saying, Solomon, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and understanding and all of that. So he is marking the course that the next 31 chapters are going to be about. Okay? And so as God would lead him on through life and in the writing of this. So the initial revelation of godly ambitions is the heart of the book of Proverbs. If you don't get this down in this first chapter, the rest of it's going to be like, okay, what's the next subject? Okay, what's the next subject? But when you see how it's to be integrated so that everything has a relationship with the other things that are in it, and it's all involved so that we get that instruction, so we do stay in the lane of God's will, so that we are chastened when we need to be, and we are cleansed and all the other things. Number two is notice the verbs, or actually they're verbals. Notice the verbs, though, or the verbals in verse number two. To know. To perceive. To know, to perceive. And the way I put it for me is it encourages the reader to acquire and utilize the three essentials that he put in here. What are the essentials? Wisdom, instruction, and understanding. So what are the actions? These are the verbals. These are the things that are saying. It's really infinitive. It means to do something, or to swim is a verbal, or to, it's an infinitive, to do this or to do that or to do the other. Okay? And he is saying here, these are the actions that we are to be, is to know, to perceive. And it encourages the reader to acquire and utilize the three essentials of wisdom, instruction, understanding, and why. And why? The way I put it, for me and for you, is because they're necessary for the accomplishment of spiritual maturity and the successful completion of God's will. You show me someone who, whether you're here tonight or online or listen later by way of archive, I guess, but you show me someone who's not in the Word of God regularly, and I'll show you an anemic child of God. That when they get into settings that are foreign to them, they get winded. Goofy illustration. When I was a young boy, I wasn't allergic to anything. Not a thing that we know of. I don't know if I've told this or not. If I have you heard this? No, okay. My dad and we, my cousins had horses. I had an uncle who had a dude ranch. So we were used to riding horses and that kind of thing. I was a little squirt. I don't remember how old I was. I wasn't very old. We went out to Colorado on vacation. And I was seated on the back of my dad's horse. We went on a trail ride. I'm seated on the back of my dad's horse. I said, Dad, my eyes are bothering me. And he said, okay, we'll get back to the stable. We'll check on it. And I kept telling him that. And the last thing I remember, I can see it in my mind's eye clear as the day it happened. When I saw we finally got back to the stable. We hadn't even parked the horse. I don't guess you park a horse, but whatever you do with a horse, you bring it to a halt. There we go. not real good on farms and animals. All right. But my dad was bringing the horse to a stop, and the guy from the stable, I don't know what he looked like, but he was coming out from the stable, and that's the last thing I remember. They said that I fell off in his arms. I was unconscious for hours. He told my parents that if I continued swelling, if I swelled up on the inside like I was on the outside, I'd be dead. From that moment on, I was allergic to every animal except for fish. And for a junior boy, fish are no fun. I mean, dogs, cats, horses, cows, any animal at all. I was deathly allergic to horse. I have an uncle that traveled America showing his Arabian stallion. He stopped in Phoenix where the doctors told my parents, we lived in Iowa at the time, they told my parents needed to move to an arid region. Because when I went outside, when we lived in Iowa, when I went outside, especially in the wintertime, I think, but we had an old time, they have inhalers now like this. Well, back then it was a glass bottle kind of a thing, kind of a square little bottle. And it had a thing that went down that would suction up the medicine. Medicine would be in the bottle that kept in the refrigerator. And it would have a little squeeze pump on it. And I'd have to put the thing in my mouth. And she'd go, breathe in. Three times, still do it to this day. Breathe in. The point is that when I got into an area, and when we moved to Phoenix, I could have died in dust storms. And so I would come in, and I would be wheezing like crazy. Or we'd go visit somebody who'd have a dog, and they'd say, Randy, do not touch the dog. Did you touch the dog? Tears are going every which way. My eyes are swelling shut. Uh-uh. Yes, you did. Now you're in trouble as well as hurting. All right. But the point I'm trying to make is this, is that whenever I was in a foreign environment, I couldn't breathe. I couldn't get the words out I wanted to get. I have vivid memories of having breath. If normal breath's like this, I'd have breath about like that. I could just barely breathe. If you and I are Christians, and we operate fine, we breathe, inhale, exhale, involuntary action of the body. But the truth is, if we're not in the Word of God and studying the Word, we get in foreign environments where it's the contagions of temptation and sin and all the things that the devil's strategies are to get us distracted, get us defiled, incapacitate us in our testimonies. If we're not studying the Word, as he's saying here, and it's not active with these verbals, to know, to perceive, then we will find ourselves handicapped in knowing what to do, and even more importantly, handicapped in fulfilling what God wants us to do. And so we're a mission field instead of a missionary. Number three, and that is, these three are not gained by desire alone, casual pursuit, or careless handling. Rather, they were foundational to the Old Testament saint as well as the New Testament Christian, even as Paul advised Timothy to passionately pursue righteous faith, charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, 2 Timothy 2:22. And then finally, the remaining 30 chapters truly fall within the initial framework and provide legitimate hope to the child of God that if he requires, which he does, if God requires these, what are those? The wisdom, the instruction, the understanding. If God requires those, then they are indeed possible for us to attain. Let me ask you a question. If I was to ask you a chapter and verse, and I'm not, and you don't need to ask me either because I'd probably fail too. But if I was to ask you a chapter and verse, why do you do what you do? Let's say it's come to church on Sunday mornings. Why are you here on Wednesday night? Why do you dress like you do? Why do you drink or eat what you do or don't eat or drink what you do or do not? Now, not necessarily chapter and verse, but Bible principle. Would you be able to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, here's why I, or here's why I don't? That's what this chapter is all about. I only got to one verse. That's not good. Well, One verse is where we got. All right. Will you give me 2 minutes? Look at verse 3. All right. Because verse 3 finishes out verse 2 is what happens. So verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom. Oh, here we go again. Now you're not, okay, let's just go. To receive the instruction of wisdom. There's adding to it now. Justice and judgment and equity. To receive means to take, to fetch, to get. We look at receive as being a passive thing. Okay? I'm receiving gifts for Father's Day coming up pretty quickly. All right? Isn't it March the 6th or something? Well, we already passed that. March the 12th. All right? Father's Day. Receive is something I get. All right? But he is talking about going out and fetching something and receiving it. I have it. All right? To fetch, to take, to lay hold of, to seize, to buy, to bring, to marry. All right? So the idea is it's not just a passive thing. To receive the instruction. Let me go back to receive. It is very similar to, you remember where the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, let's go back to 2 Timothy 2:22. I quoted a minute ago. Flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. The word follow, I've dealt with it before a couple of times here, I believe. It's the same word that's translated as persecute many times. Okay, what do? When you persecute someone? You run after them. You put your hands on them. You don't let them go. You're going to beat them up or whatever, all right? That's a negative context of the word dioko. But he says, flee also youthful lust, but dioko, follow after righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. That's the idea of run after righteousness. Put your hands on it. Don't let it go. Faith, put your hands on. Don't let it go. Charity, godly love, put your hands on. Don't let it go. Peace, put your hands on. Don't let it go. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's the idea of receive here. Receive means to fetch. To go get it, to seize it, to marry it, bring it close to heart. He says instruction, that's the same as we had before. But here you have wisdom is a different word. This wisdom means circumspect. You remember what the other one meant? The other one had the idea of skill in war, administration, prudence, and religious and ethical honors. And you're going to see wisdom in the rest of this chapter, and most of them have the meaning of the first one. But this wisdom means prudent, to look at or upon, to have insight. So he is saying to receive the instruction of wisdom in a different way, justice. Justice has the idea of righteousness in ethics, in vindication, as in justification. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified. What does justify mean? To declare as what? As righteous. That's exactly what it means. Justification means to declare as righteous. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, declared righteous by God, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, look what he's saying here. To receive the instruction of wisdom, circumspect, prudent, look at justice, righteous, in faith, deliverance, victory, and judgment. This is the act of deciding a case. A process of litigation before the judges. Here we go, the execution of judgment. Again, this is not a spectator sport where you sit up in the stands and eat your popcorn and yell at the appropriate times and cry at the appropriate times. No, this is where you get involved in it. And then equity. That is an evenness, a level, uprightness, rightly, and righteousness. And two principles that I put here, and I'll be finished. And again, I know I'm going quickly, and I'm not asking you to go into all this detail in when you have it, okay? I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just asking you to ask the Lord, Lord, give me something to feed on. I don't have time. Brother Bray, he has office hours. He can dive into these things. I don't have those office hours. And Lord, I'd like to participate in this. That's all I want you to do, is say, Lord, show me something. Show me from your word. Make it true to the text and context. But Lord, I'm hungry. Please feed me. And if you'll feed me, I'll share it with others. Okay, here's the principles. To receive advances the ambitious pursuits of knowing and perceiving. All right? To receive advances the ambitious pursuits of knowing and perceiving by advising of four additions to the formerly mentioned wisdom, instruction, and understanding. So to receive, you're adding these other two to it, knowing and perceiving. You're adding that to the others of understanding and wisdom and instruction and so forth. You're adding those to it. And then number two is wisdom. And this is a different word here, as I mentioned. In this context, it appears, and I hope you'll put your hat on this, this wisdom in the context appears to Bray to have a seriousness of study, preparing the child of God for settings requiring answers as much as those requiring actions. You and I are involved in a regular basis when people say, well, what do I do about this child? What do I do about this person that's thinking of suicide? What do I do? And when we're talking here about this kind of wisdom that has the idea of circumspect, okay, that means thinking it through. Prudent. There's different kinds of wisdom that takes truth and has a practical application to it. This particular word, though, has cognitive processes, the processes of the mind, the thinking through. What are the different angles to this setting? Okay? Wisdom in this context appears to have a seriousness of study, preparing the child of God for settings requiring answers as much as those requiring actions. This apparent introduction of godly wisdom made available to man, here we go, is to become the basis and perspective of all life settings. Even as Peter's declaration of God's enablements and admonishments. Now, I'm teaching tonight from a different kind of form. I don't normally look at a lot of notes. I take a lot of notes. And I try to know my notes ahead of time to where... But in doing it like I did tonight... And again, maybe it's the least effective, I'm not sure. But I wanted to just underscore how important Proverbs is. It's not just a compilation of good sayings, okay? It's far more than that. It means when these folks are about to get on a plane tomorrow, right, for England, there's things God wants them to accomplish while they're there. Wherever we are, that's what Proverbs is there for. Now, it's expounded greatly more in other parts of the Scripture. Oh, but these vignettes of truth, these little windows into great truth, but little windows into that truth, may be just what I need for this day. So I hope you will. All right.